Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Boys Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 307 of the Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there on this hot Sunday here in Saskatchewan? Anyway, it is 31, and but I still got to go out and mow the lawn. Tremendous. And then, yeah. Like my day has been planned already. I already worked this morning, got out early and tried to beat the heat for the overtime, and then come home and yeah, a few things here to do, and maybe the in-laws. So, oh yes, the things to do. But anyway, how are you guys doing? I actually wasn't going to put an episode out at all this week. Of course, Wednesday I missed. I apologize for anybody that didn't get their normal Wednesday fix. Yeah, was a little under the weather to start the week, and then I got hurt at work, hurt my arm, and so that has been a battle here for the last 6 days, and yeah, just a lot of shit was going on, so I apologize for not getting the podcast out. But I wasn't going to do one today. Okay. Well, first of all, when was it? Friday. Friday, I had posted on Facebook. I asked for people who wants to come on the show and kind of do this 10 question rapid fire, put you on the spot kind of deal. I had done something similar in the past. So, and a bunch of people got a hold of me. Then I posted this while I was at work. Then I got home, some stuff went down that needed to get done, and I didn't get the time that I wanted. And a few of the people I talked to, it didn't work out. And, so I apologize. And, yeah, I will get it. So, and I was going to get a bunch of guys, get 10, 15 minutes out of each guy. And that was going to be Sunday's episode. It was going to be 8 or 9 people talking about this rapid 10. But it didn't really work out that way. But then I got to thinking, well, there is really no time limit on it. It's like evergreen questions. So it's like, I could kind of just do this all summer, really. Because, summer, dead time, not a lot going on. And it just kind of, how many... to be completely honest, you just run out of topics, right? It's just how many times you're going to just, oh, who's the hardest puncher? Top five, whatever. It's like, I run out of topics. So this was sort of, and it's listener driven, and it's like, okay. And plus you never know, because the listeners don't know the questions I'm going to ask. So, or the guy doesn't know the question I'm going to ask. So I kind of put him on the spot and whatever. And I guess going forward, if people listen to this show enough, they'll know what the questions were. So they'll kind of have an idea. Not that that's a big deal, but it, sort of the spontaneity of it is kind of cool. Then I got to thinking, well, I got 3 done so far. I'll just put those on Sunday, and then next Sunday I could do 3 more. So that's kind of what I'm going to do, I think, throughout the summer. Is as the weeks go on, if a guy's got time, I'll be like, hey, can you record for 15 minutes? And I'll hit him with these questions, and then that I'll save them. And then that on a Sunday episode, I'll put 3 or 4 together, and that'll be the Sunday episode. So I think that's what I'm going to do going forward here in the summer. So my first 3 guests are William, Tony, and Barrett. And actually, all of them have been on the show before. So we will, that'll be today's episode, will be my 10 questions with those guys. Cause each one was about 10, 15 minutes. But before I do that, obviously, I'll talk about a few things. As I said, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. And, there's some characters that have joined the network. We got Jolt and Joe Lazito and, with the Coliseum Chronicles. It's going to be his Islander podcast. He has joined the show, or the network, pardon me. And, of course, old Alec there at the Five for Fighting podcast. Always getting his steps in, folks. Oh, he's on the job site. Yeah, he's having work issues this week. A lot of walking. But the Five for Fighting podcast has joined. And then, of course, old Jordan at the Five in a Game podcast is... He's out there. He's out in the fields, out in the oil fields. He's grinding, but he'll be back later in the fall here. So he'll be back, and so the network's bouncing here with all these new signups. So so when these cats put out something new, I'll let you guys know. Other than that, I'll pretty much just get into the interviews with these three characters. Because I really don't have much, let's break down the Vegas game one of the cup final. Like, no, I don't give a shit, whatever. I will say, though, imagine the Stanley Cup game one in Las Vegas, like that on a Saturday night, like that place wouldn't be rocking. Oh, like down on the strip and shit. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, I gotta admit. Other than that, the only news, we got a signing. Matthew Gagnon, he played this last season, in the UK, in the Elite League. I don't even know if he had a fight over there. I can't recall if he did or not. It was funny. The other night I was watching, the UK Fight Channel, Paul's channel. He does a great job. He's done a net, like the history that he's preserved over there in terms of the Elite League and the Super League before it, the second to none. If it wasn't for him, there'd be nothing for UK history. And I mean, there's been a lot of good guys that have gone over there, and there's been some tough cats and a lot of great tilts over the UK League over the years. Don't sleep on the UK League. The past UK League, now it's pathetic. Now, I mean, I don't even recall if there was any fights over. I mean, obviously there was a few, but it's just like, they've cut the balls off of that league, and I know I've talked to, John Searson's been on this show a bunch of times, and he's, ranted and raved about it, but just, I don't know, just whatever. It's a shame. But I mean, not that I'm surprised, because I mean, it's not like, because come to North America, they fight over here. I mean, they don't fight here either. So, it's just a product of hockey these days. So Gagnon was pretty much, it's kind of like the Reeves syndrome, right? Like, yeah, you're the, you're King Turd of Shit Mountain, basically. And, but it's heating up now, because Matthew Gagnon, of course, obviously, French from Quebec, he has come home and he has signed a 2-year contract in the LNAH for next year with I don't speak French, so pardon me, but it's like Rivière du Loup. It's like the 3L team. So I noticed signed a 3-year or 2-year deal. How strict those contracts are. I mean, in the past, I think they've been written on sticky notes and invisible ink. But for now, I mean, I'm pretty sure, obviously he's done over in the UK. Maybe Trois-Rivières in the East Coast League signs him, but he's already played there. So I don't know. I think maybe at this point, he's got to be 30, pretty close. Not that that's ancient, but I think it's probably, time to get on with life and whatever and settle down and just play in the hometown and, I can guarantee in the LNH, he'll still be making decent money, because obviously if you can land a guy like that to come into the LNH, you're laughing. So, because I think they said this team signed him back in, or protected him back in like 2015. That's how long they've been waiting to get him. And, hey, good on them, because he's a bad dude, man. Gagnon's awesome and he can throw down, and he is going to, if he stays around and plays in the LNH next season, it'll be interesting because Thomas Belmar is in the league, but he's got to be getting, he's close to 40, although he looked great this year, But I mean, between him and, you know, there a couple of the guys are getting a little older, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. Gagnon and the LNAH could be badass. He'll have more than one fight, I'll tell you that anyway. So yeah, that'll be interesting. So that was a big signing. Also going forward, you guys know how I like the ice wars around here, of course, and you know, I was down in Edmonton for the first two and kind of did the on the spot reporting and put up some Facebook Live videos and stuff when everything was going on. Well, and I like to interview the competitors before the event and just get their feelings on it and everything else, and that's not going to change. Ice Wars 3 is happening on July 15th in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and heavyweight tournaments is happening, going down, and also, there's a first. They are having a female fight. Yes, the first female fight in Ice Wars history is going to happen, and a couple of gals from Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan. Apparently, John Morasti has found a few, and I'm not quite sure the one lady's name, but I have spoken to Haley Ross, and yeah, and I've kind of asked her. I thought it would be a very unique to get her on the show and talk about basically what made her sign up and her hockey background. I know she plays because I've seen pictures of her in like hockey uniform and stuff was on the ice and stuff. So, I'll get into her background with her. And, I know her opponent, who again is local, and she knows, has not signed the contract yet, but I'm sure she will at some point here. So, but yeah, I'm going to have Haley on the show and I think that's great that, we're going to have a female tilt at the Ice Wars. It'll be great. And, but I'm also going to have a couple of the characters back. I know I've talked to James Brooks a few times, Corey Allen, Bo Cornell, Justice Smoke, all of them. So leading up to Ice Wars, I'll definitely have them on, see how their training's going. And, of course, I imagine old Swanee will make an appearance. I know he is in the heavyweight tournament as well. So it's shaping up. Ice Wars 3 in Wyoming at the, I believe it's at the Outlaw Saloon. Oh, it's, you know, we're going completely outlaw here. And, so I don't know the card yet. I am going to try to reach out to Charlie Nama, who is, who's the head dude in this. And, I'll see if he'll come on the show and maybe reveal what's happening and everything. But, so, you know, as we head into June here and Ice Wars 3 gets closer, I think I'll definitely be having some of the competitors on. And, yeah, so support the event. I'm sure it'll be back on pay-per-view on Fight TV, I'm hoping. Cause yeah, it'll be strange. I'll have to, instead of being there this time, I guess I'm going to have to order the pay-per-view and, like everyone else. And, maybe do a YouTube live show while that's on and we can all get in there and talk while the event is on. And I think that would be fun. And, yeah, maybe we'll do that. Yeah, I'll have to get the camera from school and stuff. My wife has her camera. I've never done a YouTube live show before, but I think that would be fun to have people on or, you know, or whatever. But, yeah, Ice Wars 3, July 15th, folks. We'll see what goes down.
And now here's a word from our sponsor.
Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can make a $5 bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code THPN. That's code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Let's get into these shenanigans. So like I said, the premise of it was just something I wanted to try out. It was not rapid fire, like, oh, you gotta say your answers in 6 seconds and we move to the next one. It's more just kind of put you on the spot, you know, 10 questions. And again, none of the guests knew what I was gonna ask ahead of time. So, there is some kind of, obviously. And then whatever their answer was, we kind of expanded on it for a couple minutes and maybe talked about whoever the name that they threw out was. And, and I found guys like, Williams, of course, he's a fan of the Winnipeg Jets, Tony the Canucks, and Barrett the Sabres, and, so we kind of focused on their favorite team, so to speak, and kind of, their favorite enforcers, and blah, 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 but, Yeah, no, it was just fun. And like I said, it's fun to get the guys on and just talk. And I actually have more fun when I first call them up and we're just kind of getting the sound levels. Like, we're not recording yet. I'm just sort of getting their sound right and everything. And we're just bullshitting. Of course, we end up bullshitting for like half the time. It's like for 45 minutes, you know. And yeah, I end up getting 15 minutes of audio, but I had them on the phone for an hour and a half. But yeah, that's kind of what happens. But yeah, going forward, I know some of the guys out there, Dave, etc., you got a hold of me, and you know, our schedules couldn't meet up at the time, but I will certainly get you on the show, and we will do this. And yeah, and I think it's going to be something I'm going to run throughout the summer, or maybe just continually, because then it's just, it's fan generated, and you never know what the answers are going to be, right? Everything's just random. So you know, it's great content. It involves the listeners. And if they weren't listeners before, they're going to be listeners after, because they'll want to hear their spot, and then maybe they'll be like, oh, I like this show, I want to keep listening to it. So it's kind of a growth opportunity as well, which is, you know, what I'm always looking for that too. So if you want to get on and do a kind of the rapid fire questions, get a hold of me on Twitter or on Facebook, Fourth Line Voice. As the kids say, my DMs are open. If you're not on social media, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Send me an email, and yeah, for sure, I'll get you on, and we'll do that and have a laugh while we're doing it. But other than that, YouTube, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. If you're watching a couple videos and you like them, hit the thumbs up button. YouTube loves that shit, and it helps me in the algorithms. And yeah, I put up the Memorial Cup best fight in Memorial Cup question mark. It was Steve McLaren and Chris Murray. What a battle! Yeah, it's a great tilt. And but yeah, lots more of that on that channel. Check it out. And you know what? I've ranted about the Facebook groups enough here in the last few days. But sure as shit, right on the Hockey Fight Brawls this morning, oh, somebody talking about Larry Robinson was one of the best fighters ever. And then of course all the bullshit after. One of my favorite all times. He didn't go looking for trouble, but if someone came looking, he'd dance. Remember the 76 finals against the Flyers, who had just won two straight cups? He pummeled Schultz, and the Canadians won the series in four games. Then the next guy replies, Schultz was never the same after that. He was humbled, and the bully was stopped. Well, first of all, dumb shits. It was 74, not 76, that the fight happened. And the Flyers won two cups after the Schultz-Robinson fight. And in fact, Schultz set the penalty minute, all-time penalty minute record for a season after that fight happened. Like, holy shit. Talk about hockey myths. Once again, this is how the bullshit continues. You know, and it's just, oh, Schultz sure wasn't. Yeah, well, yeah, thank you, David. Yes, Schultz sure wasn't stopped. He won two cups after the fight. He did get beat, though. Oh, yeah, Big Bird laid an ass whipping. Kind of like when Manson whipped on Stevens. Oh, God. Yeah, on and just all these guys, just on and on. And then one guy, it didn't happen. It happened in 74. The Flyers won the cup that year, too. Ugh. Everyone respected the Bird. You don't wake up the Bird. Oh, yeah, he was so good. No one fucked with him. He's in my top three with Ben Wilson and Clark Gillies. Oh. But once again, here we are. See, that's why, like I said, well, that's why, obviously, this is why I have to make hockey myth videos, like fight fan myth videos, because of shit like this. Like I said, and I replied, well, here we go. Fiction can be fun. He was a Hall of Fame player that was gritty, that would fight now and again. But overall, his fight card sucked. That's not my opinion. Just go look at it. I mean, really, you know. And he didn't fight that often, but if you want to think no one fought him because they were scared of him, then okay, let's go with that then. And then eye roll emoji. It's just like, he was a Hall of Fame player that could stick up for himself. That's, the truth is good enough. That's good enough. But all this, Robinson was one of the best fighters ever. Like, oh God. Like, just, you know, someone like, yeah, he's exactly like Chara. Yeah, no, he is. No, he's not like Chara, because, you know, he'd actually stand in there if someone threw a punch, you know. But no, seriously though, yeah, it is the same bullshit as Chara. But I will say Chara fought 100 and some times compared to Larry's 20. But no, neither of them. Both of them were Hall of Famers. Both of them were gritty, physical guys that could handle themselves. But neither of them could fight worth a shit. So stop with the Like, Robinson made his whole career on four punches that he landed on Dave Schultz in a bench-clearing brawl. That's it. You know, I hate to be that guy, but it's like, seriously. Like, I'm not saying, like, the video's on YouTube, go watch it. I'm not saying anything extraordinary. Like, it's just, that's the, them's the facts, as the kids say. But, anyway, let's move on from Larry Robinson, shall we? That seems to come up every 2 weeks, doesn't it? But, anyway, let's get into this. Here is my talk first with William, then Tony, and then Barrett. I want to thank those guys again for coming on the show. I want to thank you guys for listening. And if you, please, I encourage you, if you're new to this, check out the back catalog. Lots of interviews and, like I said, 307 episodes. You probably find something you like to listen to. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I've been told I have an annoying voice. And my knowledge is nada. Oh, yes. Thank you, Joe Lazito, for the early morning text. Yeah, I always like to keep updated with what the idiots of the world are doing. But anyway, folks, let's get into this. And yeah, talk to you guys on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. All right, here on the fourth line voice, I got returning guest, William Chipaway. William, what's happening? How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How about you?
Very good. Very good. For those tuning in, William, I had William on back in episode 158, and we discussed his fandom with the way back in the day with the Winnipeg Jets, and we trying to think, what did we talk? Well, we talked about Jimmy Mann and Jim Kite and all the oldies.
Yeah, yeah. 158, holy shit, that's a while ago.
It is. It is. It's been a while since you've been on. I think, what is this, episode 307 or something? So, yeah, holy shit.
Yeah. I came on another one in there.
Yeah, you did.
The 200s were a little bit there, yeah, so.
Yeah, I think it was I think it was one of these, it was the same kind of deal as what I'm doing with this. I think I talked to a number of people, and I think you were one of them. Yeah. I think I believe, yes, you're correct. But see, folks, now, for those listening, William doesn't know what I'm going to ask him here. It's kind of one of these.
No,
I've done this a couple. I think I've only done this one other time. And I called it, putting you on the spot here. So it's kind of the rapid.
Oh, yeah.
The lightning round. And I'm going to hit you with a few questions. Yeah. So we'll see what your answers are here. So this is not predetermined here, folks. William has no idea what I'm going to ask him. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And
okay.
And I know, and as I said, right, you're out in Winnipeg. You're a Winnipeg, longtime Winnipeg Jets fan. So we'll start there.
Okay.
Who are the top three Winnipeg Jet enforcers of all time?
Top three, I would say Kite, Mann, Kite, and Cronin. I know I'm leaving Domi out, but that just from personal preference, I like those three of my those I thought were the top three.
Cronin over Domi, eh? Yeah. I will say that that is one thing I found. I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but you Winnipeg guys and your Sean Cronin fandom, he's a popular dude in Winnipeg.
He was really popular here. I don't know why. He was a bodybuilder type too, and he wasn't that outspoken or anything, but he just everybody loved him. So, and he didn't have the personality of a Domi, where Domi would do interviews and he was out in the community a lot, and people loved him too, but Cronin was, I guess all the tough guys are very popular also, but he was one that seemed to stick out a little more for some reason. I don't know why. So, but, I fell into that too. I enjoyed him. And he wasn't even, I don't think I think Rob put out the top 10 of every year, and he only made the list a couple times when he was in his prime. So, and I don't think he was even near the top five. He was always in the bottom five of those top 10 still, but I still think he was a good enforcer here. So
I'll tell you, he had a nice little, he had some success against Dave Brown.
Yeah, twice I think he got the better of him. I think there's 10 or 11 fights, and he got the better of him once for sure, And I think another one, he would have got the advantage, but otherwise he lost all the other ones. But still, getting the advantage of Brown is a big thing, because Brown was like just a monster in heydays when he was playing. So he didn't lose too many. So,
well, just to like to fight Brown that many times, it's like holy shit! Like,
yeah, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, see now
he had the strength on Brown, but he just couldn't throw go back and toss him like Brown could. So
no, that's so true.
But those are, I think, the top enforcers of the Jets. But my personal favorites also really weren't enforcers, but they were tough guys. Like my personal three were McDermott, Paul McClain, and Jim Nill. I like those guys. Just because they played tough and they were kind of underrated. But they certainly weren't the top. Any of the near the top ones of all time Jets. So, but those three I always liked as well. So,
I can remember. I think it was one of the old Rock'em Sock'em videos, or maybe it was Hockey's Hardest Hitters. I remember they had a little section on Paul McClain, Paul McDermott. Pardon me, and it was
McDermott. Yeah,
yeah, McDermott. And it was just holy shit! Did he dished out some hits, man? Holy,
yeah. I think that's why I like him, because he can sure lay the body out. So
yeah, and it was, and I don't know why. I don't know what I was looking up, but I remember McDermott actually fought more than I thought he did too.
Yeah, yeah, he had some. He fought Ogic. He got slaughtered, but he fought a few tough guys. Only fought Berube. Actually, that was one where I don't know. Just one of those ones where you get lucky and he landed. He was a lefty, so that makes a big difference too. So, and that's when he dropped Berube there on one of the fights. So,
yes, he did. That's what it was. Yeah, Napes put that video up. Yeah, it was the McDermott dropping Berube. I didn't even know that fight happened, and I'm watching it. I was like, when the hell did this happen? I was like, you know, holy shit. But yeah, he caught Berube, which didn't happen very often.
Yeah, and he did the next year or a couple years after that. He dropped McCowan too in a preseason game. I think it was in Saskatoon actually. I believe one of those neutral site games, but it was in a preseason, and he did the same thing to Jamie McCowan. I think just the left being a lefty that surprises so many guys. So, and if you don't fight a lot, like a true enforcer, then that really surprises even more. So,
no, absolutely. Well, okay. Well, there's number one. The first question was the top three. Now, see, this is where I'm going to put you on the spot now as a Jets fan. Second question, who is the worst Winnipeg Jets enforcer?
Oh, geez, that I don't even know. As an enforcer, that's that's hard to say, because some didn't last too long because I don't even know. We had guys like Schofield and because he just didn't play enough here. And when he did play here, I think only one season, but he lost most of his fights when he was at the Jets. So I'd have to go with him, but he wasn't around too long. So I remember him losing to McGuire and Byers and Cox. And I think he beat Cox up one time really well, big time, when he was in Washington. He gave Cox a good beating then, but I think he lost to Cox when he was here, and Cox was in Calgary. And I remember losing to McGuire, Byers, and I think I can't remember who else he lost. He's a tough guy he fought as well. So I'd have to go with him, even though I liked him and I was excited when the Jets picked him up. But he didn't do too well here when he was. So I'd have to go with Schofield.
Oh, there you go. You didn't wiggle out of it. That's good. Hey, Lizito, are you listening? I asked Lizito that question with the Islanders. Oh, I can't do that. And he talked himself right out of it. Like Teflon, he slid right out. No, there you go. William stood in the firing range and took it. Didn't want to say it, but he did it anyway.
Only as a Jet, though. Yeah. When he played for other teams, he didn't lose too much, I don't think. But as a Jet, he just didn't do too well. So, yeah. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. What's your most favorite fight that you saw live?
Live. Let's see. It would be Cronin and who is he beating up? It was against Vancouver. Cronin and Stanley. That, or else McBain and Chirla. And McBain did very well against Chirla. I think he got the better of him, and just ended up winning 9-0. There was about he got three tickets to that game, and there was about 7 or 8 fights, and it was just a mean. Obviously, when the score is that lopsided, there's going to be a lot. Back in those days, in the 80s, early 90s. There was going to be lots of fights. And I think that one, my most favorite fight was McBain and Chirla. So, and you expected Chirla just to destroy him, but no, he held his own, and I think he even got the better of Chirla. I put that up a few times, that fight, so
yep.
A lot of people were surprised at that one. So,
there you go, cool. Well, we'll move away from the Jets here, or we don't have to move away from the Jets if that's your answer, but just in general, top three duos, best duos, fight-wise, not Gretzky-Curry, but fight-wise, fighter. Yeah. Batman and Robin, who are the top three, or who are your favorite three? We'll put that way. Now I will say your best, the best Probe, three.
Yeah, Probe and Kosher for sure.
Yep.
And I liked Donnelly and Cronin when they were here, even though they didn't, they were a duel for about close to 3 years here in Winnipeg, so
yep.
Just because of just being a Jet fan. And who else? I think then after that would be Nylund and Kordick. I like when they were a duo in Montreal. So
very good. Yeah. Well, now we're at one, two. That was four, so five. Well, I'll use yours. When I asked you today about some questions, the WHA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was from what you could. How could I word that? What I was going to say your favorite WHA fighter, but that's not true. What? Like in terms of if you could go back, I guess to the WHA, because you were a little young to remember the Jets and the WHA, I'd assume.
If
you could go back, I mean, who would you want to see more footage from the WHA of? We'll put it that way.
Oh yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
I think Claxton would be the first one. Claxton, Semenko, Carlson, Fotiu. But Claxton would be number one, who I'd like to see, because I just heard so many stories. And these are from other tough guys, not from fans. So talking about how tough he was and all that. And so, and like saying, he didn't win them all, but he was right in there with all the tough guys. And when he came to the NHL after the expansion, he just he was already way past his prime and lost a few there that when he was in Pittsburgh and Quebec. So, but I'd have to say him, Tim Claxton. So
there you go.
Yeah.
What fantasy matchup? If someone said, "What fight would you love to see?" What would your answer be? Doesn't matter any era, any guys. What's your fantasy matchup?
Yeah, I'd say Jimmy Mann and Dave Semenko, both in their prime, I would say. So just because the Jets again, so, and, yeah, I'd like to see them go, so.
Mann versus Semenko, all right. Well, there you go.
They did fight, I think, but I there's no footage of it, obviously, so that sucks, so. But still, that's a fight I would like to see, so.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Most overrated enforcer of all time?
I hate to say this. Probably going to get a lot of hate for this, but I'd have to say, just because also there's not that much footage on it, would be Fotiu. So I'd like to see more of him just to see all these guys that say how good he was and all that. So, and I think it's only because of lack of footage. So, and I think you could throw like, but they're not really enforcers, Howlin' Robinson, because the miss, like what you guys, but you, Chris and John were talking about there, but they weren't enforcers either. They're just considered tough guys, but there's so much blowing up about those guys. So, but I'd have to say Fotiu only because of lack of footage, I'd say so.
That's exactly what I would say too. Underrated.
Reed Lowe. And
that's a good that is a good answer. Yeah. I agree to 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think another one would be Kim Claxton as well. Not with the NHL days when he was in the WHA. I think he was underrated because there's no footage of him, but Reed Lowe there is, so you can see if you check him out, like I think you've mentioned it a few times go down that rabbit hole, and you'll see how good he was.
Yep.
So, and he just says, I just going back, guys, that aren't mentioned much on the fight pages. And I think Reed Lowe is one that's totally underrated. And I think people would be surprised how good he was and how many good fights he had if they check him out. And another one would be Tenorti, another one as well. So.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, going up that Reed Lowe thing. I think he gets lost because that, you know, because St. Louis just had that run, like, you know, they get Twist and Chase, and they had that kind of run with those guys. And then Reed Lowe kind of, like, was the next, kind of the next guy along, and he sort of gets overlooked, but Reed Lowe was fucking awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Fights that you hate to watch, that you hate happened.
That's
See, like, I'll throw you. I'll just so you. Well, I'll let you think. Because again, folks, I haven't given obviously, you know, William these questions ahead of time, so he's getting put on the spot here. So while you're thinking about that,
yeah,
I would answer this question with, I always hate the Parker Probert fight when Probert dropped him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've always hate because I was a huge not because I love Probert and I love Parker. I like both guys.
Yeah.
And I was, but I was a fan of Parker all through junior and the American League. And then he came up with so much hype and everything else. So all of a sudden he runs into Probert and gets dropped like that. I mean, they're, well, 20 years later, guys are still talking about it. You mentioned Scott Parker in a fight group. That's the, inevitably the first or second comment. Oh, Probert got him.
Probert dropped him.
You know, like,
Yeah.
Oh, he was over, like, and then the guys would be like, oh, Parker was overrated. Probert dropped him. Like, some all of a sudden losing to Probert became a, this terrible thing. I'm like, well, Probert beat a lot of guys, so I don't I don't think there's any shame in losing to Probert, but you guys are trying to make it out like it is. I always hate that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what fight do you hate?
One fight I really didn't like, and there's no footage of it, but I remember seeing it on Hockey Night in Canada. Was Brian Maxwell against Dave Semenko, and Semenko just, I mean, Semenko just destroyed him, and Maxwell was pouring blood, and I never cared for that one, even though I wish I had, and we'll watch it again, but I was a huge fan of Brian Maxwell, too, and he had did a couple good seasons here, and but he just got just slaughtered by Semenko. So I'd have to pick that one that I hated seeing and going, oh, and the Jets were getting their butts kicked. And that was, I think that was best three out of five. It was game three and we were getting slaughtered. And so maybe the Jets, I thought, would get a little physical. But no, Semenko shut him down pretty quickly after he just kicked the crap out of Maxwell. So.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I picked that one.
Well, that was, here we are. We're at a question 10 already. What guy, what fighter have you done a complete 180 on? Who did you used to hate that you now like?
Let's see. Jeez, I don't even know. I never thought of that before. You know what? It's hard to say because if you fought, I never really disliked it at all. No matter if they were like... I can't think of anybody that I really disliked.
While you're thinking, I'll do this again. For my answer, I always say is Chris Nyland. I don't know why, but for some reason, growing up or when I first got into the fight tapes and all that, I didn't like Nyland.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Like, if somebody asked me, why don't you like him? I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was something he did during a fight or the way he looked or whatever it was. I was just like, oh, I can't stand this guy. And then when his documentary came out, and my friend Kevin and I went to the, actually we went to the movie theater to watch that documentary.
Yeah, me too. I met him and I got a picture with him when he came to Winnipeg and all that. So
yeah, cool. We watched that and I'm like, holy shit. You know, I'm like, I'm digging this guy now because he listened to a deer story.
Yeah, sure.
And then of course, as soon as I got home, I go down the YouTube rabbit hole and start watching. And I had seen him on tape and whatever, but you go down and you kind of revisit stuff and it's like, yeah, I get it now. Like I'm not all of a sudden, oh, Nyland's my favorite player and I own jerseys or anything, but I mean, he is definitely a guy that I've warmed up to over the years.
Oh yeah. I'd have to say that maybe Semenko. It's just because I saw a lot of the stuff that's not around in the early 80s. I saw either on highlights or on Hockey Night in Canada where he just kicked the crap out of everybody, and I couldn't stand him. But then obviously over the years, I can say I didn't dislike him. I just wasn't my favorites, because if you fought, I liked everybody. But he wasn't one of my favorites. But over the years, and remembering those fights, and then seeing what footage there is of him, I really liked him a lot more after that. And then actually listening to Luciano's episode about how he, the deep dive on him, and really got to appreciate him more and all that. And I've spoken to him privately, and we talked about Semenko and all that. So I'd probably choose him. So.
Yeah, that's, yeah, well, it's funny because you and I were talking about that off the air, but yeah, with Luciano there, when I had him on and we did the Semenko special, because, I mean, that's why I had him on, because it's like, I mean, I knew a little bit of, I mean, I read Semenko's book, I've watched some of the tapes that's out there, but outside of that, I'm like, I've never gone on newspapers.com or done the deep dive research into Semenko like Luciano has. And so listening to his stories were, and what he's researched and found was really interesting. And I really enjoyed that episode, because I was learning as much as anybody else listening, right? So it was like, so to have him on and like you said, he's done the real deep dive and, you know, going back to, you know, when Junior and Brandon and stuff. And like he said, the thing with Semenko, and somebody had mentioned it in the group, somebody was kind of shitting on him in the group the other day, but Semenko, but it was like Luciano said, that the sad thing is most of Semenko's good shit, there's no video of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's so unfortunate. That sucks that there's nothing around. And also, I think the reason I didn't like him either, or not liked him as much, is because he kicked the crap out of the Jets all the time, too. So, and the Oilers did that as well. Not just in games, but in the fights. I don't think Semenko lost too much against Winnipeg. But he didn't fight a lot here. A lot of Winnipeg players compared to Calgary or Vancouver, it seemed like. But still, when he did, he destroyed most of the Jet players that he did fight. So I'd have to say him. But yeah, that sucks that there's not much footage, his early stuff anyway. So, because when he was in Toronto and Hartford, he was long past his prime then. So,
well, yeah, like he even said, like his heart wasn't into it. And I think he was, you know, I think at that point he was pretty much an alcoholic. And like, I don't think he was really, you know, but yeah, like that, like to see Semenko WHA stuff would be awesome, you know. And early Oilers shit when he was still wearing a helmet and shit, like that stuff would be awesome to see, right? But unfortunately, it's very brief, the stuff that is out there. And yeah, and it's kind of weird, like especially being in a Canadian kind of hotbed city where you're playing. I'm always surprised there isn't more footage of him, like for some reason.
Yeah, you know what though, that stuff was in Hockey Night in Canada, so it's got to be out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching a lot of it when I was in like the early 80s and seeing it. But so it has some, it's got to be somewhere, you'd think anyways, but I don't know. So
maybe someday it'll resurface. Maybe someday we can all hope.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It would be. Well, hey, that was quick, man. There we go. But that was, I wanted to get, William was the first guy that I contacted for this little exercise of, kind of the 10 rapid fire questions. But William, I want to thank you. I mean, we've been talking for an hour before got going. We're talking like little old ladies in a knitting circle here about everything.
I could do that all night.
Oh, I know. As soon as you start talking fight, even my wife's like, how many guys have you talked to so far? I'm like, oh, one. What? This might be next Wednesday's episode, right? You know, by the way, I'm going. But William, I want to thank you for coming on. I very much appreciate it.
Oh, for sure, man. Love it. Thanks for having me on as well. I love talking fights and all that. It's great, and I love your show, man. I listen to every episode all the time, so it's good. Well,
I appreciate it. I really do. All right, here we are in the fourth line voice. I got a returning guest. I think this is it your third time on here? I think it's your third time. Tony from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Tony, what's happening?
Not much. I am waiting for this rapid fire.
All right. Well, let's see what we can do here. We'll get right into it. And folks, like as I said before with William, Tony does not know the questions I'm going to ask him here. So we're going to just I'm coming on a left field on him. We'll see what he says here. But first, you're out in Vancouver. You're a big Canucks fan. So I guess I'll start there. Who are the best? Hold on, I got to get my paper here. Top three Canuck enforcers of all time.
Not the best, but my favorite.
However you want to do it. What do you want to? We'll say your favorite. Your favorite three enforcers of all time.
Favorite three for the Canucks, it would be Brashear, Ogic, and third one's top. I love Stern, Butcher. I'd probably go with Butcher.
Really? Huh. Well, there we go, folks.
he played here a long time, right?
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't one of those guys who really win many fights, if, you know, only a couple, but he fought everybody. He fought Kite and Brown and Tim Hunter and, like, he didn't fight Tolbert, but pretty much everybody else.
If you ever go back, for those listening, go just as you're listening, type in HockeyDB, look up Garth Butcher's Western Hockey League stats. They're like Sega Genesis stats. It's like ridiculous. He had like 100 points in like 250 minutes. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah. He was a bit on the small side to be like, you know, an NHL enforcer. He was only like 6 feet or so, but, you know, he had balls of steel, man. Like if guys today don't have what he had. Like he would go up against anybody. He knew he probably wasn't going to win, but he didn't care. Like he fought Dave Brown in Philadelphia, and you know Brown kind of gave it to him, but you know Butcher was like giving the fist pump as he's going in the box, like "Let's go, boys!" And you know that was awesome. I love Butcher. Like defensemen like that just don't exist anymore.
No, they don't. Well, you said Brashear. See, folks, there we go. We found Brashear's fan.
Yep.
People say they didn't exist. I said, I know one. There we go.
there's actually quite a few now. I think a guy in Europe or something. There's other guys who actually, now that he's retired, I think people are kind of looking fondly on it more than they did before. Like, he was fucking hated on the boards. Everybody, he's going to get knocked out by Parker. And, like, it never fucking happened. Like, you know, Bielak got him. But he was at the end of his career. And, you know, I'm not going to go on the Brashear chant. You know, we fucking already talked about that before. So, and Ogic, everybody loves Ogic. He was a huge fan favorite here for a long time.
Yeah, it was.
And other notable favorites, Ron DeLorme. Ron Stern, Jack McElhargy. Like McElhargy's a bit before my time, but super nice guy, and always willing to talk fights and stuff when before he died and stuff.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say because Tony here is a big Giants season ticket holder, so he's always at the Giants games, and McElhargy's a scout, so of course you'd see Jack all the time at the games, and of course, like you said, you'd talk fights with him. Just I know there's a lot of folks out there that are old Wolfman fans, and I know you would have asked him, who did he say his toughest fight was, and what did he say about Fatio?
Okay, I asked because this was before. The second Fatio, the one in Vancouver, which is that would be the first fight, I believe, because that was his first game, I think. So the one in New York, along the box where they're kind of scrapping and they're really close up. And a lot of people say, Fatio won that one. And I really didn't think so. Like, I didn't think it was a lot happening. But I asked him about that. He goes, I got him back. So, he said he always lost a tough guy, like, when he played. He said, I asked him about Glenn Goldup. And a lot of people, who? Right? But he was a tough guy, right? And, of course, he played for Philadelphia, right, when they were the Broad Street Bullies. So, you know, I don't know if I ever asked him, like, the toughest guy. But, like, because I always considered him as one of the toughest guys, you know, like his early stuff, like he was great. So I don't know. I was a huge fan of him, and it's, you know, too bad he passed a couple of years ago, but he was a super nice guy. Always, he was always at the games. Ron DeLorme is always at the games. He's still at the games. I talk to him regularly. And you see, like, I saw Dean Malcock about a couple months ago. I met him quite often. And just other players you see, like, just former players and stuff. And, Dave Brown's a scout. Ballon McRae was a scout. I saw Churla at the game a couple times this year. Like, and Dan Kordick I met. He was an assistant. So you see lots of players around, like former players, like especially tough guys, right? Which is great. Like, you're not going to see these type of guys in just anywhere. So.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Well, question two. We'll stick with the Canucks theme here. Who's the worst enforcer in Canucks history?
Okay, worst enforcer as in like fighting ability, I would say Dana Murzyn.
You can't call Dana Murzyn an enforcer.
Well, he fought though for his teammates. Like, he fought a ton of guys, man. Like, he fought tons.
Oh, I know he was a big guy and a gritty defense, but I don't know if anyone was calling Dana Murzyn an enforcer, though.
Well, okay, then I'd probably have to go with Garth Butcher. Because, like, he beat Phil Borch. And I don't know, I can't think of too many other guys he beat. Like, he fought Ryskowski 5 times or something, Perry Turnbull lots, and then, you know, all these other guys. He rarely won a fight, but I love the guy. I love his heart. And the team was a shit. He didn't even have a lot of toughness at some point, and he was always the guy. But, you know, he's probably the least tough of the tough guys.
Okay. Okay, we'll get away from the Canucks here, but just in general. What, if you could have any fantasy matchup, what fight would you like to see?
Any fantasy match? I'd like to see boy, that's a tough one. It could be anybody, any like a 70s guy versus a 90s guy. Then how about Fatu? I'd like to see Fatu versus Gates.
There you go.
Because I got nothing against Fatu, but like the legend is just so huge, and the video is so, and I'd like to see Fatu go against Gillies. You know, two guys that never fought each other. Like, you're in the same, you know, come on, New York, you know, you never fought either guy never fought each other. Like, come on, two of the best at that time. But I would like to, you know, Gates. I think Gates and Fatu would be a good one. I think. And didn't they fight in the IHL or something, or when?
Well, Fatu was his coach. Yeah, and he went, and Gates was at a house party causing problems, a team house party, and Nick Fatu came to break it up, and him and Link fought all over the living room. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see video on that. So.
Yeah, too bad we didn't have cell phones back then for that one.
Yeah.
Well, this next one, I know you love these, and this is going to be funny because I know your reaction to this, but. Who's the most overrated enforcer of all time?
Overrated. Well, first of all, I don't know if any of them is overrated in the sense of, like, that's a tough job, you know. It's the hardest job probably in professional sports.
It is.
And you have to give props to anybody who's going to do it, like, whether you're Tory Robertson or, you know, Shane Corson or whatever, but overrated, like a lot of hype, but the hype doesn't, the guy doesn't live up to, I got to say Fatu.
Okay.
What did you think I was going to say?
Well, no, I kind of figured that's what you were going to go with. Cause actually it's funny. William said the same thing. Yeah.
And like I said, I got nothing against the two. I like them. I like to watch them fight and stuff. But like, there's just very limited footage of the guy, and you know, like. But I think there's some. I think his rep I think people were more scared of his rep than his actual fighting. Because Matt Gaherty, you know, he fought the guy twice, and like did. I thought he won at least one of them. I thought he intimidated guys more than he was better at that than the actual fighting part.
Well, it's one of those. I think his bark was bigger than his bite. Like, yeah.
Because you look at that brawl in Calgary in the playoffs, and Hunter is fighting Semenko behind the net, and McSorley's there, and Fatu is like, he's yanking on McSorley, because McSorley's on somebody, I can't remember who it was, Plinsky or something, and McSorley doesn't want any part of Fatu. Like, and they had another time where they're squaring off for, I don't know how long it was, and it was broken up, like, you know, I don't know. I think his rep. But then, I think I might have sent you that quote that Schofield said, something like,
"Yeah,
he gets really upset or something. If you isn't as tough as he gets up, really upset if you don't think he's as tough as he thinks he is, or something like that, right?
Yep.
But Tim Hunter, I asked him, and he goes, "I said, who's the toughest guy you ever fought?" He said Nick Fatu, but you know, they're buddies, so. Is that legit? I don't know.
Okay. Most underrated.
Most underrated. I hate this fucking guy. I never liked him. Probably Shane Corson.
Yeah?
Like, he fought, he dropped Domi. Like, he fought everybody. Like,
yeah, he did.
I hated the fucking guy. You know, I always thought, you know, he'd fight Dana Merzen, but he would never go near Gino Ojek, right? Like, I don't know. I never, he always played on teams I hated, the Habs, the Oilers, you know, shit like that. But I don't like him because I thought he was a bit of a spot picker at times. But, like, you look at his fight card and you can't really say he was a spot picker because he fought everybody.
He did, yeah. Wait, no, he is a great player. He's a solid power forward and would fight and, you know, not the biggest guy, but he's fearless. I mean, he did some cheap shit, but I mean, whatever. Everybody does cheap shit, but no, that's funny. I never liked Corson either until our friend, mutual friend Chris there, you know, Corson 27, for those that remember the cat on the old fried chicken days. Chris, if you're out there listening, hope you're doing well.
Give me a call.
Yeah, exactly. Phone home. But he did a 2-disc Corson, set there. And, you know, once I watched it, I was like, you know, goddamn, this is pretty good. Actually, he's a little better than I ever gave him credit for. That's a good pick. Corson. Yeah, that's a good one. You threw me off with that one. Okay. what are we at here? 6. If you could have a team tape, we'll say a team tape or a league tape or whatever, I'll let you play with it. I know you're back in the day, big fight tape guy. You got a big collection. That's how Tony and I actually met. We traded way back in the day. So I know you got tons of tapes and everything. If there was footage, if you could have any footage like that from any era, from any team, league, whatever, what would it be?
Oh, any league? Well, definitely New West Bruins, probably late 70s, when they had Bystrick and Neil and Brad Maxwell, and I think Melnick might have been there. And, oh, yeah, definitely the old Bruins, stuff like that. And I think for NHL, I'd take the Canucks, probably about 1979, maybe, 79, 80. There's some stuff out there, but like they had so many fights, it's just not available, right?
Yeah.
And like American League, oh man, American League, IHL, like I love those, all those leagues. So I don't know. I'm a Canucks guy, right? So I'd like to see their farm team stuff. You know, there's some Fredericton stuff out there for sure. I have that stuff, but you know, there's lots of years where they had nobody. Like no footage of who they had.
Yeah. So. Okay, number 7. What fight do you hate to watch the most? Like I told William yesterday, like I said for an example while he was thinking about it, I said the fight that I hate to watch, or that I hate happened, or whatever, however you want to phrase it, I said I never liked the Probert Parker fight. Because I like Probert. I love Probert. I love Parker. And I hated seeing Parker get dropped because for the next 25 fucking years, I've had to listen to Scott Parker lose and drop Probert.
I actually love that fight. I think, I can say, I don't like Brashear getting dropped by Belak, but there's worse things. I think not a fight I maybe hated, but the result I didn't like was the first Cox Schofield fight. Like, he just got destroyed. And, like, same with the Crowder fight with Cox. Like, you know, he just got absolutely hammered. And it's just so bad, right? Like, the Schofield one, like, he's almost, it was like, what, oh, four punches. And Cox just down, he went bloodied and just brutal. Like, it was like, I loved Cox, man, but he was just, he was exciting as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he lost a lot more than he won. So I'll probably say the Cox Schofield. I remember feeling really bad for the guy when it happened because the game was on TV here, right? And I just felt bad, like, because he didn't even know who Schofield was.
Yeah.
So I don't like to see the Brashear one either, but, like, there's the Cox one was real bad. I thought Cox getting done by, like I said, like those two guys, Schofield and Crowder. Like, those were, the Crowder one was not televised here, but just, you know, I have it anyway, but it was just, that was just brutal. Like, his head's bouncing like a bobblehead. It was like, yeah. I never understood the announcer on that. He's like, Cox hasn't fought for 2 years. What do you mean 2 years? Oh, there's a fight in the Momoa Cup right now. And the fucking linesman broke it up. Like, come on. Sorry. Anyway.
Well, hey, you said Probert and Parker. You love that fight. Why do you love that fight?
Because Bob's a bit of an old man at that time. And, you know, of course, Kevin Hansen, you know, all the hype with this, you know, that idiot. But I think that was part of it, right? Like, I wasn't a huge Parker fan. Like, I liked him a lot more later in his career. But, you know, he was up, he was with the, you know, the Avs, right? And that's a, you know, big rival with Vancouver, right? But Probert's an old man kind of, and he just Parker apparently was in awe or something of it.
Yeah, he was.
Of him, right? He really wanted to fight him, and he concussed him. I think he sent down to the minors after that. Like, that was just that was vintage Probert. You know, his jersey didn't come off or anything. Like, he just, one or two punches just, like, floored that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's ever been hit like that before. Like, it was just, and that was Bob kind of showing, like, power that he rarely had shown.
Yeah, no, that was, like, yeah, that, like, even in his, like, yeah, Probert was the big power guy. So, yeah, it was, no. The old man pulled something out of himself for one last time. Yeah, because it's like, yeah, and that, because, and Parker, and at that time, Parker was on a real roll. You know, young guy coming up, he had cruised through the American League. He was doing well in his NHL fights, and the old man showing the young guy some tricks.
He did, and, like, Jersey was tied down, everything.
Yep.
Like, he just grabbed him, and man, did he wallop him! Like,
yep. Yeah. I lost my place. Where are we? Oh, okay. Here, number eight. Who's someone that you've done a complete 180 on?
Brashear. I fucking hated him with the Habs. I didn't even want Vancouver to acquire him. They traded Cullimore to Montreal. They got Brashear. I didn't even like Brashear. I didn't like him at all. I'm like, oh, this guy's, you know, he's terrible. Because in Montreal, he wasn't the same player, like, fighter, as he was in Vancouver. And I remember talking to Robert LeBlanc, who lived in Montreal, right? And, you know, he made the fight tapes and stuff. And he said, he goes, Brashear never fought like that in Montreal. And he had a couple wins in Montreal and stuff, but he was nothing like he was in Vancouver. And I didn't even like the guy. Like, they acquired him. I'm like, this guy sucks. Like, and then, you know, turns out to be, like, one of my favorite players. And, and you know did awesome. So
there you go. All right, number nine, best duo.
What?
Best duo.
Oh, the best twosome for the Canucks or anywhere?
Anywhere. If somebody said, name the best tag team in NHL history, what are you saying?
Well, most people would say Probert and Koser.
Well, okay, other than Probert and Koser, then.
Other than Probert and Koser, like, man, there's some good ones. It's tough because there's different eras and stuff. Like for the 70s stuff, or you got to go maybe, you could say Jonathan and O'Reilly maybe or something like that. But
yeah.
That's tough. Like, I think it's Philadelphia. They had Dave Brown and they have Berube, right? That's probably the best. That's basically as good as Probert Koser, really, in my opinion. Like, I had Dave Brown number one, so I don't know. I think that's as good. And I think another one would be really good would be like Brashear Ogic when they came here before Gino got traded in like 98. 97-98, like Brashear Ogic was pretty good.
Yep.
Ray and May was awesome too.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Kordick and Nyland and stuff like that. But you know, I like Chirla and Chirla and it's like Basil's not super tough, but I like Chirla and Tenorti. Like that would be a really good twosome, right, with Minnesota. So
yeah.
You know.
All right.
Yeah, guys, stuff like that, I guess. Yeah.
Final question, number 10. Minor leaguer that you wish got a shot or a longer shot?
Well, Baduk, for sure. Dean Ewan, Serge Roberge, you know, or he played, what, played five games or something like that?
Yeah.
I thought, you know, it's funny because he fought Bomber. On the island when Roberge came up with Quebec, and he actually, because I watched that a few times, and he really didn't lose that fight that bad. Like, not really. It was a good fight, and I remember the first time he got killed, but then I looked at it like years later, it's like, oh no, he actually did pretty good. So I don't know why they never kept that guy up. Like, really? But you know, Baduk never played, Dean Ewan never played, Kerry Toporowski, seeing that guy come loose, that would be awesome. So,
yeah,
any of those guys.
Good answers. Good answers. Well, there you go. There's the Rapid Fire 10 with Tony in Vancouver. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. All right. Here we are on the fourth line, boys. I got Barrett on the phone down in Rochester. Barrett, what's happening? How are you today?
Oh, we're doing good. Just taking a break. I'm doing some work outside and down in the cave in the basement cooling off.
There you go. Well, thank you for participating in this, and for the folks listening, I'll go, of course, Barrett will be he's the fourth individual I've brought on for this exercise that I'm performing here. He has no idea the questions that I'm going to ask him, so it's he's coming into it in the dark here, so we'll see what answers this produces. But I'll start off with I'll start off with an easy one. Who is your favorite enforcer of all time?
Oh, I figured that was going to be one of them, right? And I'm thinking, like, okay, what answer am I going to give? So I'll go with, like, my very first favorite, who is still one of my favorites, Eric Bolton.
Okay.
Everybody knows him.
Yeah. So... Now, with Bolton, that's a hell of a pick. Now, in terms of like your NHL fandom, obviously you would, Buffalo Sabres is your favorite team.
Yes, for NHL hockey, yes, Buffalo. Yep.
Okay, well, that'll be my next question then. Top three Sabre enforcers of all time.
Oh, okay. Well, number one. That's easy. That's Rob Ray. I mean, I don't see how it could be any answer other than that for number one. Number two, that's a little murkier. I think some guys would probably say Larry Playfair, but he was sort of before my time. So number three, I'm going to go with, or excuse me, number two, I'm going to go with Brad May. Number three, that's a tough one. I can't go with a homer pick because he didn't play there too long. In fact, his career got better when he left Buffalo. He was kind of a wrecking ball the first 2 years he was there. I'm going to have to say Andrew Peters for number three.
Interesting picks. Actually, I thought you'd throw Bolton in there is who I actually thought you'd throw in there. But
you know, I want to do so bad, but I should. It's like if you really stack them all up and his career got so much better when he left Buffalo, you know?
Oh, that's who you were talking about when you said, yeah. I guess where'd he go? He went to Atlanta, I guess, right? It sounds so weird to say Atlanta.
Yeah. He went to Atlanta. And it wasn't really the first 3 years, really even the second year. It was more after that.
Yeah.
Probably around those, you want to call it like 08-ish. He finally started climbing the charts a little bit, you know? So, I think guys started getting a lot smaller, you know, when you think about it, a lot of the real huge super heavies were starting to get filtered out of the league a little bit. So he wasn't fighting the big behemoths as much.
That's true.
That's my hypothesis anyways.
Well, and the Playfair thing, yeah, I hear what you're saying. That's what I always say with the, you know, everybody, oh, the top 10 of all time. What's your top 10 of all time? And it's hard because, of course, you know, I mean, everyone's heard the history and the legacy and everything, but it's just like, yeah, when you've never seen them, I mean, and that's the thing with Playfair too, is of course, footage is really rare of them as well, but it's like, yeah, it's like you said, you want to put them in there, but then it's like, well, I never saw them though. It's like when people do these top tens and it's like, oh yeah, well, Ferguson and Gordie Howe for sure. It's like, well, you've never seen them fight. Like, I mean, you've read all the, you know what I mean? It's like, you've read the history books. I get it. And you've watched Legends of Hockey documentaries and everybody talks about how tough these guys were. But yeah, until you've actually seen it, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like you got to put an asterisk beside it a little bit.
Right. You kind of have to, you know, and, you know, I think it's like the cool answer, right? Well, I read it on a forum, you know, years ago. And
yeah.
I've seen some really grainy footage and somebody told me that he beat up, you know, insert name here on a fight that wasn't, or a game that wasn't televised. So there's a lot of folklore with some of those older guys, but, you know, it's kind of hard for me to throw them in there, like you said, without really seeing a whole lot of them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And Andrew Peters, there's a name that doesn't get, it's interesting with Peters. I feel, and I mean, maybe I'm up my ass. I mean, I had basically stopped kind of watching hockey at that point. I mean, obviously I know who he is. I've seen his fights, but it's like, I'm far from an Andrew Peters expert. But from what I've seen though, he seems to be a guy that doesn't actually get a lot of respect though.
No, you're right. Because I think, and again, this is just from just kind of living out here and following the careers of a lot of those guys through this area. He came into camp. So he actually, he kind of pushed Bolton out of Buffalo.
Yeah.
So in 2002, 2003, that's the year that Rob Ray got traded. I think he traded him to Ottawa.
Yep.
And the very next season in training camp, Peter showed up. He was like 250 pounds or something like that. Just massive. And he actually fought Bolton in the training camp. Bolton broke his thumb in the fight. He was out for, I think, a month to start the season. And Peters was just, anytime he was in the lineup, he was fighting once or twice a game. I went to the home opener that year, and he fought Goddard and Cairns in the same game. And he was just fighting everybody. And he put the whole league on notice, and he was kind of like an unknown because, you know, he came out of the OHL. He was playing in Rochester, and he was the second round pick that the Sabres made. And they got a second rounder for Pat LaFontaine. So, like, you know, that was really notoriety that he'd had, and he was just basically a fourth liner in Rochester. No one really knew him. And then in 2002-03, when Ray and Bolton were unavailable, I think they're both hurt. Instead of Peters getting the call, Sean McMorrow got called up and played against Toronto. So I think he was fired up. But and then he, in his own admission, he's got a podcast called After the Whistle with Craig Rive. And his own admission on that particular podcast a few different times, you know, he said, like, by the 07 or 08, 08-ish season, I think it was, he said about 2-3 years into his NHL career, like, you could watch my fights, and I just, he had just lost the love for the role, and he wasn't having fun, and, you know, he that, that massive KO power that he had, and just running through guys, and the no-fear attitude was just gone. So I think that's kind of why that happened. He didn't have a really long, extended career in the NHL where he was just leaving wreckage in his path. He only did it for a couple of seasons, but in those seasons that he did it, I mean, he was top dog for sure.
He was good, and I know it was a while back. Somebody was kind of shitting on him, and I remember saying, if go back and watch, because I think he fought him 5, 6, 7 times, but go back and watch the series of fights between Andrew Peters and Brian McGrattan.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yep. Peters does really well in those fights.
He really does.
And it's like, yeah, and McGrattan's sort of at the time, like, oh, the man, right? And it's like, give or take, McGrattan was always sort of a top dog, and it's like, well, Peters is right there with him. In fact, I'd have Peters winning the series over McGrattan. And it's like, you know, I would.
I'm not the only one.
yeah, exactly.
I was scored the same way.
Yeah, yep. And it was like, oh, I don't think he's as bad as everybody's claiming. And then, of course, I know he admitted to taking steroids and all that shit. And I laugh that these guys are getting on him. I'm like, wow, I mean, do you really think he's the only one? I mean, come on now.
Right.
Like, I mean, he was the only one that admitted it, but, you know, or I don't know if he got caught. I think he admitted it. I think it was after the fact, though, that he had, maybe. I remember him talking about it openly, though. So it's like, wow, yeah. He just admitted it. Like, if you think he was the only guy on steroids in the NHL, I mean, I got a fucking bridge to sell you somewhere. So, you know.
Exactly.
You know, but there you go. That's intro. Andrew Peters. That's cool. It's there's a name that doesn't get tossed around enough. Okay. Well, now I'm going to see now. This is where I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's the worst enforcer in Sabres history?
Oh, the worst?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Who's the worst? I wasn't expecting that one. Okay, so let me think here. I got to try to think of a guy who maybe just got bashed around a lot. Really, it was awful. I guess a guy that, like, I can't throw him out there because he was really good at what he did, and the guys that he fought, he did really well against.
I mean, are you going to say Barnaby?
Yeah, you can't say Barnaby because he surprised people in some fights.
Yep, he did.
Oh, man. I don't know. Jeez. I'm going to have to. God. The worst one. I'm going to throw a name out here, and I'm going to feel awful because I'm probably going to do a bunch of research on him and then find out he was actually pretty good. But any time that I've sort of watched his fights, he didn't really do all that great in them was a guy named Steve Dykstra. I'll throw him out there. I don't know a lot about him, but I've seen a couple fights with him, and he didn't really it was kind of what he did, right? I mean, he was a fighter. I believe he was a defenseman. But, yeah, that's a really good question because I don't really think of those guys as, like, who's really bad at it.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a guy, you know?
Yeah. And for those listening, I mean, it's just a fun question. I like to say it to Barrett, and I had Tony on, and they're fans, so it's like puts them on the spot because I know you guys don't want to say it, right? And I mean, and it's not being said, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. Like, yeah, like this piece of shit shouldn't have been in the league. Like, I'm not saying it like that. It's just we're just having a little fun here on the show, and that's funny you said Steve Dykstra. I think he actually started following me on Facebook. I might get him on the show.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say, hey, there's this Barrett guy. He said you were the drizzling shits. Yeah, here's his number. Yeah. Yeah. No,
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, well, there. But that is. That's a tough question. But like you said with the Barnaby thing, it's like, yeah, you know, like some people would have said Barnaby, but I don't know. I've never actually viewed Barnaby as an enforcer, though. You know, like he's more of just,
right, exactly.
He's just like a pain in the ass, right? So, and he was very good at it. You know, the thing with Barnaby, and I think you and I may have talked about this before, but just this is completely has nothing to do with whatever we're talking about. But with Barnaby, I always felt if Barnaby actually gave a shit and wasn't trying to be put on the show, he actually could have been a way better fighter than he was.
Yeah.
If you watch his fights, he's yelling at the ref to not break it up. He's making faces. And he's laughing at the guy. He's talking to him while he's fighting him. But meanwhile, the guy's trying to hit him the whole time, and Barnaby's just kind of wrestling with him, you know, making faces and laughing. And then he'd kind of get mad and throw a few in there at the guy. But it's like he has no intention of really, like, when guys drop the gloves, it's like, I'm here to beat the shit out of you. Well, Barnaby's, it was more just to put on a show and, like, make the guy look stupid, more or less.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, he would hang on and hang on. He had really good stamina.
Yeah.
So, and he could, and he could take punches.
Yeah.
You know, he could roll away from them, and you really couldn't hit him real hard. And he was just really frustrating for guys. It looked like when you found
like he was kind of doing like in boxing terms, it'd be like the rope-a-dope thing, right? Meanwhile, he's talking to you in your ear the whole time, and you're just wanting to kill him. And then, like every once in a while, you'll see like where he fought legitimately mad. Like, he was pissed to begin with. It wasn't about a show. It was like, I'm mad at this guy. And he just attempts to throw punches right away. And there's no talking or making faces. He's actually, no, I'm not saying he's, you know, up in the top 10 or anything. But it's like, when he wanted to, he could actually throw not bad. Like, I wouldn't say Barnaby's a terrible fighter. He's just kind of... Like, I mean, he's trying to be a pain in the ass even when he's fighting. Not just even before the fight, but even during the fight, you know? Like, yeah. I don't care what anybody says. I love Barnaby. He was great.
He's one of my favorite players, yeah. I mean, yeah. He was awesome at what he did. Absolutely.
Have you read his book yet?
No, I have not read his book yet.
No, neither have I. I got to get that. It's supposed to be really good. And he tells some really great stories in it. So, and, you know, Barnaby's not going to hold back, right, with his storytelling, so... yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and for the new listeners out there, if you have not checked it out, I talk with Chris Y2J. We talk about not the Domi Ray one, but before that when I had him on. And he was a bouncer in Buffalo, and he has some very good Matt Barnaby stories. You should check those out. They're very funny. okay, moving on. We'll move away from the Sabres here. Barrett's already maligned the organization enough here. It's the Steve Dykstra family's looking for him. But,
oh, boy.
It'll be all good. Yeah. Who is the most, just in general, the NHL, you know, in your time from watching and being on fight boards and everything else, who's the most underrated fighter? I know it's kind of a loaded question, but work with me on it. Yeah.
Underrated?
Yes.
Is this across? Well, is this NHL minors everything? What do you think?
Well, hey, well, hit me with whatever NHL guy and a minor league guy. We'll go with that.
All right. Well, I guess the first answer, most underrated guy, because I don't think he gets. Every once in a while, you'll see like other, you know, there's maybe some ex pros will comment on stuff in the appreciation group, and I agree with him wholeheartedly whenever he gets brought up. He played a little bit in the NHL towards the end of his career, but my most underrated guy. All in all, it's probably Steve McClaren, old Stone Cold.
He was really tremendous underrated. Pick. Tremendous. Yep.
That guy was, I mean, you see him like that Scott Parker fight where Parker smashed his nose across his face and he didn't even blink. And he comes back. And if McClaren didn't look like he needed to be, you know, mopped up, you know, with a bucket afterwards. I mean, I can't believe he didn't go down. But if he didn't look as bad as he did, you could argue that he came back and won that fight.
Well, believe me, Parker couldn't believe he didn't go down. You know, he was just
that was the most amazing thing.
Oh, it's a guy's guy's a Terminator, man. Well, even that fight I put up the other day of him. Was it yesterday? The day before?
I was going to say.
Yeah, the Memorial Cup fight when like Murray's drilling him and he's just standing there taking it and he's like, it comes back and drops a bomb and it's just, well, actually the bomb he dropped on Murray, I can't believe Murray stood up after that shot actually. But,
yep.
Yeah. Oh, Stone Cold is awesome. Great pick. Good pick. All right. Well, then we got to go on the other side of the coin. Most overrated.
Most overrated. These ones make me feel so bad, and I'm still kind of reeling from having to throw a name out for worst Sabres guy. so now, just for fun, so I'm on the spot here. Most overrated enforcer.
Like, I don't know, like, you go on the enforcer, like, you're on the enforcer groups like I am, and, like, I don't know, you see the guy's name brought up, and you're like, ah, he was one of the best, and you're just like, ah, no, not really. Like, you know, again, we're not saying the guy was, awful, but it's just like, I don't know, in your mind.
Well, yeah, if people will probably hammer me for saying this, and there is a pun intended, but I didn't get to see him a lot, obviously. He was like the Playfair era. But I heard stories about him from people when he came to Buffalo, and maybe it was because he was pretty much done with his career. And then the stuff that you see on YouTube, it's like, yeah, he was all right. But I never really got the folklore reputation of Dave Schultz, personally. I know he was kind of maybe, he's known as the original, like, you know, pure, what do you want to call? I mean, I hate, you know, I'm not a big, you know, fan of the word goon, but he was kind of, yeah, that role for the Broad Street Bullies.
Yep.
But then he gets his reputation as like one of the all-time killers, and it's like I never really understood that. So I guess I'll throw him out there.
Interesting pick. There you go. Okay. Who's somebody that you've done a complete 180 on?
A complete 180 on.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's not a good one. Okay. Let's see here. Complete 180. I'm going to go with... He's probably a guy that... Because I didn't really like him at first. And I know a lot of guys still don't like him. But you can't argue. And it might have had a little bit of, you know, a little bit to do with he actually played Buffalo a couple of years, even though he kind of shits on the area on his podcast sometimes too. But I did a 180 on John Scott. I used to think he was just a big bird, and maybe he was at first. But some of the damage he did to guys when he really kind of figured it out. And he's a guy that, like, he's NHL-wise, he's sort of like Peters. You know, he didn't have a long, illustrious career, and he was a healthy scratch a lot throughout his career. But the run that he had where he was actually – doing pretty well. I guess I'll, it's kind of the era he played in too, right? I mean, he kind of stuck around the league a little bit, and more or less because he was one of the only real super heavyweights that were left in the league at the time. So he was kind of the big, the big bad guy in the block, but I'll go with him. It's not going to be a popular answer because he's a college player and all that stuff, but
that's your answer. That's
I'll throw him out there.
Yeah. It's your show. It's your answers that, there we go.
Yep.
Well, I know you go to Sabres games, you go to a lot of Rochester games and everything, so what's the best fight you've seen live?
The best fight I've seen live? I see a lot of them, but yep. Probably best fight I've seen live. It wasn't the greatest fight in terms of, back and forth bombs and everything, but because I was a big fan of them, and I was actually hoping he would eventually make the Sabres, which he did. But there was a fight, I think it's on YouTube, but just, it was the time of the game, and the Hershey Bears were playing like dicks, and like they always did back then. Because they had guys like Parker and Sammy Hellenius and, the animal Frank Bialowis.
Yep.
Bolton fought Bialowis off a faceoff, and he won. I wouldn't say, if you look at the replay, I don't think you could argue whether the right hand landed before Bialowis went down or not. Real grainy video. But it was actually a real good fight. For me, thinking, that, all right, this is a big test for Bolton, because everyone knows Bialowis. That guy is, yeah, that guy's nuclear. I'm going to go with that one, just because being in the arena, and I still remember it. Just the feeling in the arena, like, okay, all right, these guys are yapping, they're lining up here, and it's going to happen. I mean, I knew it. It's because I knew those guys, and I was telling people around me, I said, watch them. Watch 29, 26, they're going. And then sure enough, they dropped the mitts, and by Lewis ended up on the ice, and Bolton skating around without a jersey on, and, you know, the whole place was going nuts. So throw that one out there.
Tremendous, tremendous. That was question. What was that? That was seven. Okay, so eight is what fight you hate to watch? What fight do you hate to watch?
Like a pass fight that comes up, and I always click forward on it.
Yeah, like you going through your DVDs or on YouTube, or someone mentions it, and you're like, I don't like that fight. Like, for example, like mine's always Probert and Parker. Like, I love both the guys, but it was like I wanted Parker to really do well when he first came up, and then he gets dropped by Probert, and it's like, oh, shit, you know? And, I mean, yeah, obviously ended up having a good career, but, I mean, 20-some years later, people still bring that fight up when you mention Parker's name, and it's like, oh, it's like his scarlet letter, right? But that's always my example that I've used for the people that listen to this show are probably sick of it because that's like the fourth time I've said it. But, yeah, that's what I mean in that sense with that question.
Yeah, all right, I got you. So I'll go with, I mentioned he's like my favorite. So Bolton and Bonvy, there was a fight they had, Buffalo versus Boston. I went to the game. I was playing a little bit of college hockey, and we had a game. I was living up north in Canton, New York, and we had a game towards Buffalo. We were staying overnight, so our team went to the game, and we're talking all this stuff about, like, oh, yeah, this Bolton guy's really tough. He played in Rochester, and he just made the team. And it was like either – it was the 0-1-0-2 season, so it was his sophomore season in the league. And, Dennis Bonvy got called up, and we're all talking about him, you know, the guy who knows Bolton is. And we're like, oh, they're going to fight. They're both from the Maritimes, right around the same area as each other, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, they find each other and they fight. But Bonvy pulls Bolton's jersey over his head and just starts smashing him. And it wasn't a real great fight. Bolton fell down a couple of times. And then as he got up and the refs came in there, Bolton fired like a right hand over the top and just almost cleaned Bonvy's head right off his shoulders with it. But he didn't go down. But it was the worst fight. And the guys were like, they're all ragging on me. They're saying, like, oh, that guy's not that tough. He kept falling down. It's like, you know, guys who don't really know the fight game. But that one, I would say, it's probably the one that whenever it comes up on YouTube, it just brings back that memory of, like, oh, what a letdown, you know? Like, yeah. You know, I was talking all this shit about how good a fight it was going to be, and then that happened. So,
good one.
That's the one I skip.
A good one. Well, here's one. What's your, like, if you had your fantasy matchup, like, any eras, yeah, whatever, just two dudes, I would have loved to have seen these two guys fight.
I think I shared a picture of this. They almost fought once when Steve McIntyre was with Pittsburgh and Eric Bolton was with New Jersey. The photo on Getty Images of them, like, staring at each other, like, nose to nose, like, near a net after a whistle or something, right?
Yeah.
And they both had that, you know, fuck you look on their face, like, and they were, and it never happened. Apparently they almost squared up in the ECHL during that 04-05 lockout, but that never happened, I guess. Supposedly McIntyre was chasing Bolton all over the ice, which I don't doubt, because at that point McIntyre was young and looking to put in, you know, make a name for himself. But that's probably the fight. I think, like, if McIntyre was in his prime, I'd be kind of worried for Bolts. But I don't know. Like, if later in his career, Bolts really surprised, you know, some guys.
Yeah,
he had some thunder in that right hand, man. He could hurt you.
Yep.
So. Probably that. I'd say Bolton and McIntyre.
There you go.
That I would have liked to have seen.
Well, we're here. Number 10. Final question. I know you already said McLaren, but other than him, what minor league tough guy do you wish really had gotten a run in the NHL?
A run. So more than just one game.
Yeah, like give him a couple seasons. Yeah.
Give him a couple seasons. Okay, so I'm going to say this. Like, so I was, I had gotten out of the Marine Corps in November of 05. So I started going to, you know, moved back home up the Rochester area. And, I was obviously following McMorrow, you know, out of the OHL and into the Sabres. And, you know, he kind of grew into that role a little, becoming, obviously a professional hockey player versus a major junior kid. And that season, 05-06, he was much bigger, much stronger, and he actually fought more open than he's known for.
Yep.
And a lot of those videos, I sent you a message because I was actually looking for him. I think it was last night. A lot of these videos I used to be able to find easily with a couple of strokes, the keyboard. They're all deleted for some reason. But anyways, from that season, I mean, there was a couple fights he had that, against a real big, tough guy, like Yuri Meshevsky, Bill Kinkle. Obviously he had a couple of fights in the preseason that year, too, against Shelley and Neil. And he had a really good year that season. And I think, he had that one game in 02-03, but that was kind of before he really, started getting into a groove around 04, 05, 05, 06. I would have liked to have seen what he could do up in the NHL around that time, right? Like when he was really wheeling and dealing and was really playing well and was really, really into that role. So Sean McMorrow right around 05, 06, 06, 07-ish, I think would have been fun to watch if he could have stuck somewhere.
There you go.
I'm only saying that because I'm sure somebody's already going to say Joel Theriault, so I wanted to do a different answer.
No, I haven't heard Theriault yet, but there you go. That's a good one, too. yeah, it's too bad Washington never got him up. But, well, there we go, folks. There's Barrett's 10 rapid questions. I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?